If someone could also cut that audio about Buzz wanting it hard and all that, then magic. Absolute magic.
Yeah. Third degree net podcast.
Well, hello there, DFW soccer curious person. You welcome to another brand new year of Third Degree the podcast, and yes, he is here. It is Dan Crook. Howdy, Dan.
Whoa, what's going on?
Is this the episode you debut your cover song you were talking about performing on the podcast?
I have no idea what you're talking about, so no, I'm going
to
go.
I think you were going to cover Tears for Fears' Mad World. I thought you were going to sing that on the podcast. Is that?
Nah.
That's not you?
That's not what I'd say. Nah.
Oh, I'd be here for that, yeah.
Maybe Buzz said it.
No.
Dan, I think you volunteered to do it one time.
That is not a song I would pick if I was.
It's not? Okay. No. All right. What was the song you said you'd sing on the podcast?
I never did.
Okay. Buzz,
was
don't
it
you
Dancing
remember him?
Queen?
Yeah,
it
maybe
Dancing
it was
Queen.
Dancing Queen.
I hate ABBA.
Oh, no? Really?
Culture Club?
Yeah. Karma Chameleon. Let's go. No, it's Do You Really Want to Hurt Me for sure. Yeah, it's definitely Do You Want to Hurt Me.
I mean, Dan, if you wanted to sing that, I'd sing along with you.
You are more than welcome to start, and I will just watch.
Half the audience, by the way, does not know who that is, Culture Club. That's fine.
Stop it. Yeah. All right. Well, it's good to see you again, Dan. Thanks for joining us. And, of course, that is your hero and my hero, everybody's hero, editor, founder of ThirdDegree.net, and the original soccer influencer himself, Buzz Carrick. Come in, Buzz.
Gentlemen, I wanted to thank you for being here for season 8 of this podcast.
Season Ocho,
yeah. season Ocho. And the 29th year of Third Degree's coverage of FC Dallas and now other things, but that's where we started. So.
I don't know how to say 29 in Spanish. Is it 29?
Yeah, there you go.
That sounds right?
Yeah, that's pretty close. I mean, what do I know? But yeah, that's pretty close.
I like how reaffirming you were in your support
I can count to 10 in Spanish.
You don't actually know if I said it right or not. Buzz, I don't know if you happened to get a chance to listen to the radio show, The Kick Around, on Saturday, but the show started... Burn fans would love this because I don't even remember how this got started, but Andy and I ended up spending most of the opening going back and forth on Dallas Burn bobbleheads.
Oh, wow. That's a deep topic.
I don't remember how it got started, but he brought up the fact that Jason Christ had a bobblehead.
Yeah, I have one.
I have one. Yes, it's in my garage. Yeah. And the question came up, I don't remember if he asked it or I asked it, which was, wait a second. Was Jason Christ the only Dallas Burn player to get a bobblehead? And we thought about this for quite a while, and he actually ended it saying he thought it was because Hugo Sanchez didn't get one. Graziani didn't get one. Damian didn't. You know, none of the other big name players didn't get one until Andy's dad texted him listening to the show and said, I'm sorry, son, Oscar Perea got a Dallas Burn bobblehead.
I have the Oscar Perea Burn bobblehead, and it's even a signed one. And here's the dumb part is that they had him sign the box and not the figure. So I have a signed box with it's unopened with an Oscar Perea.
I think that's the same thing with my Jason Christ one. I think Jason Christ signed the box and not the bobblehead.
Do you have the Freddy versus Jason, Freddy Adu, Jason Christ double bobblehead, Freddy versus Jason? Do you have that?
No. That would have been Burn too, or was that FC Dallas?
I believe it was the Burn because it was the whole.
That would have been
Freddy versus Jason going. It's DC United with Freddy Adu.
No. Do you have that?
I'm pretty sure I do. It was in a box somewhere. It was two of them attached together.
Oh, wow.
It was Freddy versus Jason. I'll have to see if I can find my box of bobbleheads, but that was definitely a thing, that Freddy versus Jason one.
Yeah, Andy's right.
It was a movie, you remember? The Freddy
versus... Yes. Yeah. Well, Andy's right. Everybody gets a bobblehead in 2025, but yeah, back then it was really rare that MLS players got that honor to get a bobblehead, and it didn't dawn on me. For a good bit there, I thought maybe Jason was the only actual Burn player. Obviously, several FC Dallas players have gotten them over the years.
Originally, they only did like one per team. So, like, I have a Valderrama one from Colorado, and I have a Crew one. I don't remember who it was.
You mean Tampa?
No, didn't Valderrama play for the Colorado Rapids for like 5 minutes for like one season? I swear it's a Colorado Valderrama. Maybe I'm wrong about that. And then I have somebody with the Crew, and I have I think I have the Freddy versus Jason one. So like there were a couple around the league that you could get on eBay or whatever. So
Dan, are bobbleheads uniquely American, or did you have them over there too in England?
No, they're an absolute American thing. And yep, Buzz is right. Colorado Rapids.
Oh, okay. So do English people think bobbleheads are the dumbest thing possible? Because I think a lot of Americans think bobbleheads are really stupid.
I'm not sure a lot of English people know what a bobblehead would be.
Really? So when you got here and you saw a bobblehead, you didn't know what it was?
I might have heard a reference on a TV show or something. I don't remember. That was a long, long time ago.
But you don't collect them now or anything, do you? Do you even have a bobblehead somewhere in the Crook household?
Yeah, I've got the Oscar Pereira one from... 2016
when he was the coach.
Yeah,
I think they did it right after he retired and came back as coach. They did it with like a player figure to honor him coming back or something like that. Because
they did a coach one as well.
Did they? Okay,
yeah, that's the one I've got.
Oh yeah,
how many Burns? Well, I guess we know there's two Burn ones now. The third, because I guess you could count the Jason Freddy one. How many total Burn/FC Dallas bobbleheads have there been?
If there's more than that, I don't remember. I mean, somewhere there's a box where I have about 10 different MLS bobbleheads in them. I can't remember how many.
Do you think you have all of them, Buzz?
No, I don't think I do. I just think I have a handful of them. I don't remember how many. I mean, there's probably been lots of them now, but
there's somewhere is a box with one spectacularly nerdy person in the universe that has every single MLS bobblehead ever made. They've collected all of them.
Well, for a while, I tried to get a copy of every single MLS media guide.
I know.
So I had those for like a bit. I think I've given them all away now.
I don't think I've told you this story, Buzz, but once a year, I go through my attic cleanout process, and I run into my original like 98, 99, 2002 collection of media guides, and I go, I really need to give these to Buzz because he's the one that wants them all. But now I'm finding out you don't want them anymore.
Well, it's trimmed down in life. So I think I have one each of the Burn ones until they quit doing them somewhere. But then I got rid of them. I had duplicates of a lot of them. I gave them to fans, because when I was working a lot of TV for MLS in the early days. And so I would get one every game. And so I started leaving the truck and handing them to kids and stuff.
The media guides back in the day, they were awesome. They were so great.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not as good as old Major League Baseball ones, but they're still
good. Remember how hard Chris Ward used to work on that thing?
Yeah. They still have one. It's just digital now.
It's all digital. Cool. Yeah. It sucks.
Yeah. I had to help them a lot with their US Open Cup version. It's part of it. But they've gotten better about it.
We need a Dan Crook bobblehead.
Yeah.
See, look, he's shaking his head like a bobble right there on the screen. Oh, wait, are you shaking your head no, or are you bobbleheading?
I'm doing neither.
I think Dan is annoyed by this line of conversation.
Confused. I know what Steve feels like when we talk about kits.
So Dan is anti-bobblehead.
And media guide, apparently. Yeah.
Dan is bobblehead apathetic.
Okay. Would you like to talk kit stuff just to make you happy again?
Nah. We're in the moment now. There's nothing to talk.
Yeah, there is. Did you see the new England away kit got leaked today?
That's bloody awful, isn't it?
You hate it. Oh, you don't like it.
I think it's awesome. Oh, it's so good.
We like it.
Yeah.
Do you not like it because you don't like the way the red turns out? It's too pinkish? Or do you just not like a red, blue, red kit?
It just doesn't look good.
Oh, I like it.
It's not a fan. No. I did, funny enough.
But what don't you like about it? I'm gonna push you on this. This is an audible format.
It's got a weird square collar, and I don't know. They've got this weird like graffiti, not quite three lions, something watermark on it. I don't know. It looks like a training top.
Okay, I could see that criticism, but just fundamentally, the idea of England wearing red, blue, red is not a problem for you as a secondary
that
kit.
That has been the majority of England's away kits for the past 25 years.
Okay, all right. Just wanted to establish that. Okay.
I did, funny enough, see the Adidas Authentics for the World Cup for the first time in the flesh today, and that is going to be the style that is used for MLS in 2026, and I will say they're very nice.
Interesting.
That's it. Just very nice.
Which ones did you see?
I saw Argentina.
Okay.
So yeah, with the holographic logos and everything, fabric's really nice and light. The new Climacool Plus.
There's a JD's sportswear store up in North Park now, and they've got a whole bunch of the Adidas World Cup.
Everything.
Stuff.
They had when I went in there was replica.
These were all replicas that I saw, correct?
Yeah, this was at Dick's House of Sport. They had two authentics and a ton of replicas.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe we'll save a little more kit talk for later in this episode. All right, Buzz. Well, let's move into the world of Football Club Dallas, which largely had not had much happen since our last episode. And then today occurred. Now, am I to understand that today is actually a noted day on the FC Dallas calendar
as
homegrown signing day? This is an annual event?
Apparently. I've never heard of it. But
since when? Can somebody tell
this
us?
This year, maybe.
Okay. This is the first inaugural FC Dallas homegrown signing day?
Well, the thing is like there have been many times in the past where they didn't have homegrowns every year, but now because they have these hybrid contracts, they're basically anticipating that they're going to have somebody go from North Texas to MLS homegrown deal every single season, is I guess what they're counting on. So like three of the ones today were foregone conclusions. We've known since they signed their contracts 2 years ago that they were on this season, they were going to become homegrowns. So it's a little bit anticlimactic for those three guys, especially because those three guys will not be, I don't anticipate, playing for FC Dallas at all. They're going to end up being, they're 17, 18 years old. They're going to be this off-roster kind of homegrown status. Pending.
So why sign them to that kind of deal if they're unlikely to ever play for the senior club?
You remember back in the day when they signed Paxton and Jesus and Brian Reynolds, those good dudes stood around and did nothing for 3 years. But you still want to sign them when they're 15, 16, 17 years old. So you sign them to these longer term hybrid deals that have the first couple of seasons are with North Texas, and then they become a homegrown, and you're hoping by the time they're turning 18, 19, and 20, they're starting to move into the play. Like Diego Garcia, who's now 20, is a homegrown. So we should hopefully see more of him this season as he's now 20. So you want to sign him and lock him up, but you don't want to have him eating up roster on FC Dallas. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it's to solve this problem of having four or five homegrowns taking up roster spots and not doing anything. Like Paxton didn't do squat between 16 and 19. He just stood there. So we don't want that. So the fourth guy, however, is interesting because that's Slade Starnes, who's the SMU senior center back, All-American, Herman Trophy semifinalist, ACC tournament MVP, led SMU to their first ever ACC title in the regular season and in the tournament. He's a guy
badass with a name, by the way.
Yeah, he's got a pro body. When you see him, he'll remind you physically of Matt Hedges. He's 6'3", has that same sort of lanky but wiry strong. He was captain of the academy, great leader, captain at Furman, captain at SMU when he transferred. For one season, they made him captain anyway. So he's a player that excites me because he's 22 going on 23. He's a college senior. So this is a guy that could have been drafted or would have been drafted probably high in the first round if he wasn't a homegrown. So, but Dallas snapped him up. So he's going to be in the rotation, I would imagine. I imagine he'll be ahead of Alvaro Augusto right away because he's much more experienced. And I'm hoping by the end of the season, you'll see him getting those opportunities that at the beginning of the season, they'll go to Lawless Abubakar and Abiaga. I'm hoping by the end of the season, he's going to be getting those spots. He's not going to be a starter this year, but I think he'll be in the first team rotation if he's as good as I think he is. I mean, I've been tracking this kid a long time. So this is the, you know, of all the center backs they let go to college, this is the one that matured and progressed and is not ready to be a professional center back.
The way you said that's kind of creepy, Buzz. I've been tracking him for a long time.
Well, I have. I mean,
stalking a young man.
Yeah. Well, that's what I do. You know,
True.
He came up from ECNL to the academy sort of late. He was a little bit of a late bloomer. And then became a real leader, and he's got a knack for scoring goals with his head. Like every season in the academy and in college, he would have 3, 4, or 5 goals from a header off of set pieces. He can get up, he can dominate in the air defensively and offensively. I think if his career progresses like I expect, he could move into a kind of, maybe not as good as Matt Hedges. Matt Hedges was league defender of the year. That's pretty high. But, you know, certainly enough compared to some of the other center backs that they've signed out of college that end up not panning out at all. So I think he's going to be a good piece. He's the piece that's most exciting in terms of the next 2 or 3 seasons, as opposed to some of these other kids, which I think 1 or 2 of them you may never make it to the first team pool.
It does feel like that after however many years, how many years have they been signing homegrowns now?
I mean, you can go all the way back to like Kellen Acosta and Yeloa and the forward
Ruben Luna.
Thank you. Shortly after they founded the program, within a couple of seasons, Moises Hernandez, who ended up playing like 16-year career, not all of it in MLS, but he played forever. You know, those are the earliest first guys.
My emotions about this are conflicted because a part of it is I think it's cool that this has become such a regular, normal thing that it's not a big deal anymore. But it also kind of sucks that it's not a big deal anymore.
Yeah, well,
you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. It's because that they want to, in an effort by the league, to get the best players to come through their system, their Next Pro system, and not go to college. They've loosened the reins for the clubs in terms of how you can sign them to these hybrid deals and progress them through your second team and eventually to your first team and carry more of them than you have room for. It used to be that they had to take roster spots. Like we talked about earlier in the show, like if you were going to sign them, they damn well better be ready because they're going to eat 3, 4 of your roster spots. Well, that's no longer the case. So now you can stockpile them.
Yeah.
You know, maybe sign something that might turn out to be a late bloomer, you know, or maybe take a chance on one, you know, that you might before it would have gone to college, you know. That way you can try and keep Weston McKennie. not let him go to college.
Well, that's interesting. So I guess in an off season, you got to manufacture a big day, and that was today.
Yeah, why not, right? Yeah.
So is there one main takeaway from today's announcement that you would like the pod listener to carry with them?
Yeah, just that only one of those players matters right now. Okay. Today. The other three, you know, are years away from helping. So, you know, they're teenagers. You know, they're not important in the context of the day.
Am I reading correctly that one of these players is somehow adorned with the name Kaká?
Yeah, Kaká Scabin. Yeah, he's Brazilian, and so that Kaká is a sort of an Americanized nickname, probably from the great Brazilian player of that same name. I would imagine his name is not spelled like that, or pronounced. His real name is not spelled like that. But Scabin, yeah, his dad is in the pro game as a scout / finder. You know, he came to Dallas Academy from Inter Miami. So,
as a man who once was a boy, who was burdened with the name Peter. I feel for any young man who is having to carry around the first name Kaká.
Well, I imagine in the soccer world that he's from, the Brazilian world, and the world of which his kids are playing in, that doesn't come up.
Yeah, Frisco Heritage, that ain't the same thing, Buzz.
Well, he may not go by that name in Frisco Heritage.
Oh, okay.
I probably know.
Oh, you don't think so?
I don't know. That's his soccer name.
But what is his real first name? Do we know?
I don't know how to pronounce. Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it. It's spelled.
It's shitty.
No. It's a Brazilian name. Hold on a second.
His name is actually dog shit.
No, stop it. I'm looking. I put it in the Discord here. Hold on a second.
It's like Kenny or something like that, right?
C A U A, but the second A has that little Brazilian thing on it.
Cacaus or something like that.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not Brazilian. I can't speak Portuguese. So
this is when we need Andy Swift.
Yeah,
our trilinguist.
How to pronounce that? I don't know how to pronounce it. So you know,
Google says Kaua.
There you go. So
interesting. Well, we're still arguing about Kaique and the numerous pronunciations of Kaique's name. So,
oh no, we were saying it right because when I was like, "Hey, how come you guys have this one thing in your PR stuff, and then the recording of him is completely different?" He goes, "Yeah, we screwed that up. The recording is correct."
Well, all right.
Brazilians also have multiple pronunciations for just about everything.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like when you had. Felipe Melionaro, and you'd have Brazilian people that called him Felipe, Felipe, or Felipe.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all Brazilian. They're all correct.
All right. Well, a big day, I suppose we qualify it as officially a big day. We'll look forward to January 5th, 2027, when FC Dallas homegrown signing day comes back around for year two.
Yeah. There already are some. They already have players that will come onto that contract. I believe Sam Seta will elevate at that date to homegrown, if that means anything to you.
He'll emerge from his academy cocoon.
Well, from his North Texas cocoon.
His North Texas cocoon. Yeah. All right. So, anything else? I guess, you know, because, man, we were mentioning this. You and I were talking about how we are so close to the start of camp. And then I saw a couple of the media guys chatting up the fact that teams participating in League's Cup are already having to get together because the League Cup stuff is happening so quickly and around the corner.
You mean CONCACAF?
Or whichever one. Sorry.
Because FC Dallas is in League's Cup and they're not doing squad.
No. I'm sorry. I got that backwards. Yeah. The other tournament.
Yeah, the FC Dallas has physicals this weekend, you know, and they'll start training, I guess, basically next Monday, you know, assuming that there's not like an off day for some reason on Monday or whatever. They're going to enter camp, and there's 6 weeks of camp, and then the season starts. So, you know, one of the things I'll run later this week is sort of a check-in on, you know, what the roster looks like as camp is opening, and have they filled all the holes that we've been talking about for the last, since, you know, October when they got eliminated. But I thought it was interesting because I was looking at that today. I was doing that format today, and I've noticed that, like, at least in my mind, this is about as concrete a starting 11 entering camp as I can think of in a while. You know, they're playing a 3-5-2 for two very specific reasons. One was the defensive shutdown, and also it gets Moussa and Farrington on the field. So, like, those two guys are locks, right? Moussa, Farrington. What are the chances that like a Deedson or an Anderson Julio or a Sarver is going to knock one of those two dudes out of the lineup? Basically zero. So those two guys are locks. The 10 is going to be, we hope, a DP signing. If they sign that guy, that's a lock. Kappas is a lock. We've been hearing for a year. They think Pomacle is a lock to start in the midfield, right? Maybe that's a spot where that might not be a lock because he's injury problems, but it's a lock in their mind. Camungo at left back. He's not going to lose his spot to 18-year-old Josh Torcato. Uruguide is a lock. Shaq Moore is a lock at center back. Probably Nolan Norris is a lock. The new signing at right wing back, Johansson's a lock. He's not going to start over Giovanni Jesus or Newman, a college guy that's had an ACL blowout all year, and Giovanni hadn't played in 2 years. Colodi's won the goalkeeper job. So really, there's just the goalkeepers possibly in contention, Colodi and Paz. I don't think Nolan Norris is in contention. I think he's going to walk in as starter. And then is Pomacle the guy or not? That's it. There's maybe three spots that are open. And really, it's probably not. Really, none of those three are probably, maybe just goalie. Because, you know, are they going to play Abubakar or Ibiago over Norris?
Who are your three center mids in this lineup?
Kappas is a lock. The new DP10 signing that we're telling everybody is coming is a lock.
Okay. Right.
And then Pomacle, because they keep telling us, right? Pomacle's a star. He's getting paid $1.4 million. The salary says he's a starter. You know, are you going to drop Kappas or Pomacle? Kappas is the coach's guy. He's the coach's captain, right? You know, they talk about how much they love Ramiro, but Ramiro doesn't start in the middle when last year he started out a wingback all the time. So, like, to me, there's maybe three, but maybe even no positions that aren't in lock going into the season. And I don't remember the last time that happened a long time ago. Been a while.
Dan, working under the premise that Buzz is correct and that this starting 11 appears to be largely locked, where would the Danometer of excitement be on the 2026 FC Dallas season?
Oh, wow. That would involve me being excited about the
anything in life.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Absolutely anything at all.
I don't know. I can't get excited about it until there's some, until preseason's back. It's hard for me to even get a draw and, oh yeah, I'm looking forward to it all. Day one of preseason, first time I go to preseason training, I'm like, yep, yeah, I'm in. I'm sold now. Yeah. What's the Peter meter doing?
I'm not excited. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say I'm not excited. I'm running about historically consistent at MLS preseason, which is I'm glad there's another season coming, and I appreciate the fact that Dallas is playing again, but there's nothing in particular about this particular 11 or the roster or the player selection or anything about it that has me enthusiastic about this team's chances of winning or being a real competitor this year. Now, you reveal that this DP10 signing is a Mauro Diaz type.
Yeah.
Kind of a revelatory ball playing creative wizard kind of player. Okay, now my attitude is going to change about it. But right now, it's essentially, in many ways, the same team they had last year, and that team wasn't very good.
Oh, yeah. Well, it got a lot better in the back half. But you're right. Like
this team was not very good, Buzz. It's like you went from really shitty to, okay, just good enough to get into the playoffs, squeak into the playoffs. That's not good. My bar of expectation after 30 years is set way higher than squeak into the playoffs. And I'm not going to apologize for that either.
As you say, the level of excitement, the level of hope, it all hinges on this DP10. I mean, this is the quarterback. This is the point guard. This is like everything, like their ability to, because you're right. Like we talk about all the time. If you stand pat, you're going to get passed. So like their version of not standing pat is confirming that Shaq Moore's in the middle and bringing in a wing back who may or may not be an upgrade over what they used to have at right wing back. Other than that, is Pomacall healthy? That's going to go a long way between making us excited or not. And then the new DP is literally the whole thing. Without the new DP, you're the exact same team last year. You'll struggle to make the playoffs. With a new DP, I think you can make some more strides.
Yeah.
It's got to be real, though.
But the part of it that I'm also concerned about is the fact that it does appear they're sticking with the three-man back line. And if they do that tactically, it's tough for you to put a system on the field that maximizes this type of player. Hence the problems they were having with Acosta last year.
Well, I think a lot of those problems with Acosta were, you know, but by nature, somewhat how he was as a player. He always wanted to come back and look for the ball and try and build up through the middle and all that kind of stuff. And listening to Zanata talk the other day, and again, like you can't ever take him at face value, but, you know, he was talking about the kind of profile they want isn't like a classic stand in the middle Valderrama string puller. He was talking about a guy that can go inside, outside and attacks aggressively on the run and with the ball at his feet, like almost describing like more of a false nine, like underneath winger kind of thing, more than he was like a actual pure 10. And if you look at the eights we're talking about, the Kappas, theoretically the Kappas Pomacall scenario, and even Ramiro when he's in there, and Kaique for that matter, all those guys can pass a little bit. You know, Pomacall will make a huge difference in terms of their ability to pass in there if he can stay healthy. That's the thing for me, is they're hanging a lot on that Pomacall being healthy problem, because the midfield gets super, super pedestrian without him. You know, even if you get a really great 10, you know, because if you don't, you're looking at Delgado. the Delgado, Ramiro, Delgado, Kaique, Kappas, that's what makes you kind of nervous for like, oh, this is not going to be any better. But, you know, a Kappas, Pomacall, new DP10 makes me kind of excited for what possibly could happen, pending the fact that I don't trust the Pomacall's healthy.
Yeah. That would be interesting. It would also depend on how that lays out formation-wise with three in the back. Is it a 3-4-2-1? Is it a three? you know, I that's what I'm curious about, how they're going to play that.
Yeah, we'll have to see in the spring. My thinking was they're going to end up with sort of the same thing they had last year to a certain extent, which is this you know, this five back, really, where Kuminga was releasing and the back three was sort of shifting left a lot. And we talked about how Shaq Moore would slide over and almost become like a left back, if you will, in those sort of scenarios. But then they went out and got Johansson, who is a, you know, set their league record for goal contributions, goals and assists as of a wingback, and had these huge numbers. So, like, okay, maybe they're going to alternate releasing and going forward. So I think there's a lot to be said with that midfield, you know, what basically will become a four across, being Bernie, Kappas, Pomichael, and Johansson. Maybe that's a pretty offensive group. So it'll be fascinating to watch, Peter, as you say, like how that tactic, because, you know, tactics no longer like you just write down 3-5-2. It doesn't really work that way anymore. No. Now everything is really fluid and things flex. And then when is a guy releasing? When is a guy not? Somebody was talking about like inverted wingbacks to me the other day about how maybe they won't be going forward. Maybe they'll be coming underneath, you know? So like, we'll see how it all plays out. That's what spring training is for. And that's going to be fascinating over the next 6 weeks if we get access to watch some of the games, like the scrimmages that are on TV. By the way, they are playing RSL in Bromby again over there in Algrave in January. So hopefully we'll get some of those games streamed and we'll kind of see what's going on with this back three, back five, how it all is working. Hopefully we'll get to see a new DP10 because you guys know as well as anybody, those new big foreign signings often show up at the European camp because they can get in there and train without causing all kind of visa issues by trying to come here and train without a visa and all that stuff. You can get in trouble for that.
So, and when is that run?
I don't know when they're going exactly, but it's probably going to be, you know, end of January into the beginning of February. Usually they go for like two and a half weeks. Those two games are January 26th and January 30th. Against Bromby and RSL that are on the schedule of the website. That's how we know that it exists.
And now that Jesus and Legette both are no longer with the team, can they go back to the nightclub? Is the team safe to return to the nightclub?
Well, it was never the team. It was a problem. It was personal. It was for a problem.
I know.
The team didn't get in trouble. Legette,
I know. But now, you know, maybe they feel like the troublemakers are.
I don't know that anybody else has a significant other of such hope, high profile, that it would matter that they went to the club or not.
Well, Jesus didn't at the time either.
Bobby Ryan got in trouble at a club once in La Manga.
Tell. Yeah. This is an old Burn story I'm not familiar with.
Hope that's a public story. Hopefully. Let me just say, like, do you remember the time I went over there with them and they were doing that pink shirt of punishment when something would go wrong?
Yes.
It was one morning where Bobby Ryan was wearing it, a little worse for wear looking, and I was like, Bobby, what happened? And there was a whole story with that, and I don't want to have Bobby Ryan because he got in trouble. Some relatively stern trouble. Yeah, for that one.
He had to wear the tiny good old pink Bobby cutoff shirt.
Yeah. It did involve some karaoke standing on a piano. I remember that part of it being pretty much so.
Very funny. Excellent.
It got worse from there.
All right. And I'm just going to ask again, what's the latest on the new shirt reveal, kit reveal?
I haven't had any time.
Do you? All right. Hold on. I'm going to ask you the same. I've asked Buzz this question directly. Buzz, do you know who the 10 they're looking to sign is? And you just can't say.
No, I don't know. But this is, I told you that like somebody that I know that does know told me that I would love it. Okay. So but you know, they may not know me well enough to have said that.
So now I'm going to turn and look at Dan on this video web and go, Dan, do you know what the new FC Dallas home kit looks like? You just can't tell us. In other words, have you seen it in some shape or form and you know what it looks like? You just can't tell us.
I do not know exactly what it looks like.
What percentage of how much do you think you know?
70, maybe.
Okay.
All right.
Are we going
to
like it?
Enough to have a guess.
Are we going to like it?
God, that's an even tougher question. I don't know. I mean, we keep getting told it's the best one so far.
Yeah, Nobody's better than the Burn one. Keep hearing that.
But based on the 70%, you know what Buzz and I like. Dan, this isn't a secret. We've been prattling on about this for 800 episodes.
I mean, I think so.
Okay. All right. I'm just trying to get enthusiastic. See, look, I'm trying to get enthusiastic about the season. I want you to be enthusiastic, Dan.
I'm English. I am incapable of enthusiasm.
Get the man a cup of tea.
As the joke goes, you lot say, have a nice day. We can't even guarantee the next 15 minutes.
By the way, Peter, this is only episode 344. There are not 800 episodes.
All right. It just feels like 800 episodes.
Well, we've been talking about that jersey for 20 years that we want. So,
all right. Very good. All right. FC Dallas talk going once, going twice. All right. We are done with FC Dallas talk. Let's move to Little FC Dallas, North Texas. Anything there other than that it sounds like they exploded their roster officially?
Well, they've announced the moves that I told everybody about back in October. They were all correct.
All right, so because I saw this happen online today, and my first thought was, didn't Buzz already announce all this back before Halloween?
I reported, quote unquote, and they said they wouldn't do anything until in the season. The reason is because those contracts are until December 31st, and then the office was closed. So now they've done it. The one little nugget that was in there was that Isaiah Kakush signed a new deal. That's interesting because he was under contract for 2026. They had an option, and they signed him to a new deal. And I found out from my sources it's a hybrid deal. So he's a future homegrown. Exciting player. He bled
another kick-ass name, by the way.
Yeah, Kakush. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So everybody just calls him Kush, as far as I know, which is awesome. And he bled his ACL in the last season, and it's interesting because his option would have run out for this next year, right when he was getting healthy. So they obviously were like, "No, we're not letting that happen." And they've done a hybrid deal on him, so he'll be a homegrown in a couple of years. Talented player. I'm quite interested in that guy.
Need to meet the Kush.
Yeah, cool kid. You'd like him. Yeah.
What'd you say, Dan?
That sounded a little bit off. It was the tone in your voice more than anything.
Did it have a funk to it there?
The Kush.
That might have had a funk.
Yeah.
Buzz was the one that was tracking players.
Yeah, I definitely track players from about 14 on.
Daddy, who's this man following me all my games?
And now we're all on a watch list.
Don't kid yourself. If you go to an academy game starting at about age 13 or 14, there's not just one person. There's about 20 people scouting every game.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. Not,
I do not stand out in that field of people. I actually draw a line much older than most of those idiots.
It's a business, man.
It is. Yep.
Okay, so any other little FC Dallas talk we want to get into? Have they? When is the stadium officially open?
A little later this spring. Their season schedule is not out yet.
So do we assume they're just going to play a bunch of away games until the stadium opens?
We don't assume they are. They are.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right. I asked when the camp starts. Even though their season starts later than FC Dallas's, I asked when it starts. They only have like six players. So I think all those six guys are going to be out there with FC Dallas because most of them are, you know, future FC Dallas signings or already FC Dallas signings anyway. So they'll all be at FC Dallas camp, I'm assuming, this week. So. That they're going to kind of circumvent the rules in a way that way.
Okay. Excuse me. Sleepy. Let's see. On the run sheet, it just says Atletico Dallas ? Is there nothing to talk about, Buzz, or are you going to break news?
No. I wrote that down trying to think if there was any news. There just hasn't been anything since that the announcement of the bar that they're doing and the field that they're little field, which is all super cool. And then their reserve team that they bought, but they haven't done anything since then. You know, holidays or whatever. So like, I just didn't have anything to put. They're still on the run sheet. I just didn't scratch them out. So I guess I should have, but no news there.
Very good.
I do anticipate that this quarter that they will announce a coach sometime in the next 2 to 3 months. I know that's a big window, but
you made me laugh out loud when you retweeted the Wilfred Nancy news about getting fired from Celtic, and you said Atletico Dallas should give him a call.
Yeah. I thought,
well, that's just ridiculous.
Why not? Ain't big.
There's no way a guy that was just managing in the Scottish Premier League is going to step down to USL One.
Every MLS job is full.
I don't think he left MLS to go to Europe to come back to the United States to manage a USL One team in the
third
tier.
He got fired after five games or whatever. Who's going to hire him in Europe?
Well, maybe that is an indication that he's not smart about his job selection, and so maybe
I'm not saying that that's not completely true, that that was a terrible choice to have made. A system coach who needs time to implement his system, I'm not saying that's not 100% true, but like all the MLS jobs are full. I'm just saying that like if you think you're going to be a Division One club in this new league and maybe he'd like the challenge, I don't know.
If he got even if he got a scratch of the $10 million Amarin got today for getting sacked early, Wilfred Nancy made the right choice to go take the 5 weeks of Celtic for
$2 million
or whatever it
call
was.
And ask. You never know.
Maybe, I thought Caleb Porter was getting that job.
Who knows? I just said that Caleb Porter knows Brian Cocker, their director of soccer. That's all.
Yeah, that's what. Oh, I predicted
that was my conjecture that he would be the guy since if he was going to be available, and he is available. So, okay. he and Corcoran are buddies from their days on the U17 team. That was the reason I made that suggestion. And then I suggested Hugo Sanchez would be a great hire as well.
Oh, I like
the
that
great
one too.
U.S. national team midfielder who coaches in El Salvador.
Hugo Sanchez? You mean Hugo Perez?
I'm sorry. Hugo Perez, not Hugo Sanchez. They can't get Hugo Sanchez. Hugo Perez is who I meant. I may edit that whole thing because now I sound like an ass that I got the wrong Hugo.
I was so confused. Just leave it
in. Yeah, that's awful. I brain farted.
Well, I sound stupid because I agreed with you. Oh, that would be a great idea. No, then I thought about it. I was like, wait a second. Wait, you mean Hugo Perez?
El Salvador national team coach, Hugo Perez. Former national team midfielder should include you in. It was not a fact.
Yeah, that's what triggered me was I don't remember Sanchez going to El Salvador.
Or playing for the United States.
For the United States. I remember when he played in the Cotton Bowl and bicycle kicked on day one, but there you go. All right,
so Real Madrid games play for the US.
We spent a lot of time last week contemplating the fate of Trinity and their poor attendance numbers and kind of the fractured state of their schedule. And yet their season is about to pick back up and they've got a game on the calendar that isn't even a league game. They're playing Houston.
Yeah, this is like
a, preseason, midseason friendly? Is that what this is?
Yeah, because they have like they have their winter break, you know, and they're going to do a little week or two, I don't know for sure, camp. They're going to play a warm up friendly. They played the Dash last year at the same time. They're trying to make it like an annual thing. They gave it a name and all that stuff.
Oh,
so it's at the Cotton Bowl on the 28th. That'll be
Copa
fun.
Tejas or something like that.
I don't remember what it was. You know, Texas Challenge or something. Who knows? I don't know.
I-45 Showdown.
There it is. Yeah. So
it's
what's
part
fun
of
is
Houston's
that,
preseason.
Yeah, Houston preseason, Trinity's midseason refresh. You know, it'll be fun. Be a good game because Dash should be really good.
So I got a question for you guys because I was thinking about this the other day with MLS moving to the new calendar in 27 and giving themselves a similar break that we've seen USL SL give themselves. Mm-hmm. And we've commented on more than one occasion how this break within this new women's league really seems to just put a massive emergency break on the season in terms of interest and momentum. And I'm really curious if MLS is going to suffer the same sort of kind of fracture in anybody's enthusiasm over the season when the thing stops down for 6 weeks.
It'll be similar, I anticipate, to when they stop down for a World Cup or for the opening rounds of a World Cup. You know, except that, of course, the audience then has the World Cup to watch, whereas like and then all of a sudden you got to come back and, you know, a month later and play. So it'll be like that. So we'll see.
I guess culturally, I was just trying to think, is there an American sport that has a start stop set up like this that I'm just an obvious one that I'm not even thinking about?
Not that I can think of, other than like, you know, they talk about the baseball All-Star break, but it's like five days.
That's not the same thing.
A month. You know, that's it. I mean, that I can think of. Certainly not American football, basketball. I don't remember if does the NBA shut down a lot for this NBA Cup that they're doing. I don't think so. I think they keep playing NBA.
No, in fact, some of the games are actually games for both things. Yeah, some of the games are both regular season games and cup games at the same time. At least I think that's how it was in the earliest rounds. That's how it's set up. I think.
Remember when MLS did that in the Open Cup? That was dumb.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unless it's done a lot of stupid stuff over the years.
Yeah,
they have.
Yeah.
I'm curious, because I don't know if it's a fair comparison, because the USLSL arrives already being way off the general sports radar as it is. I'm just curious that if everybody gets all enthusiastic about a new MLS season, and then it just, the brakes get hit at the beginning of January or whatever it is, and everybody's like, oh, I forgot about the MLS season.
Well, England has a winter break. It's not that long.
Well, they just started doing that, and then they quit doing it. Germany does it all. Yeah.
They used to have like a 2-month break where they switched to indoor. The NHL historically had a break for the Winter Olympics.
Okay, but that was still, that would only be once every 4 years.
Mexico does, obviously, Liga MX.
Right. Again, I think it's a cultural question, which is, you know, are we as a sports culture prepared for one of our major pro leagues to just stop doing everything for 6 weeks? That's what I'm curious about.
I don't know that we're going to be prepared for it, but I actually am looking forward to it, because I feel like FC Dallas certainly in the middle of summer gets burnt out going into August, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's in part because the season is so, I know the season is so long. So maybe there's a benefit to like a little refresh mid season, a little stop down, a little camp, you know, like a little extended international break.
Turn into the chaos that the USL Super League winter break did last year.
Yeah. What happened last year?
When Brooklyn as a club fell apart and then the league just went on its head.
I mean, as long as it's not FC Dallas, that's fun. Yeah. Chaos is good. We love chaos. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious, because that's what I think about us sitting through another stop down for USLSL and the momentum or enthusiasm, what little there is, I'm curious as to how that's going to play out for MLS in 18 months' time or whatever the time frame is. All right. Let's see, anything else we still haven't heard anything about Fort Worth. That's being slow played to the slowest degree. And I've started to see more social media content from Rodeo. Like, they've started to put their messaging together, imagery, branding.
I have a huge Rodeo FC news drop for you.
So it since it's not FC Dallas, this isn't a Huntsman drop. Is this just a flat out rodeo horse drop?
Was it a rodeo dump?
Horse instead dump. Of a horse dump? Dump? Okay.
Yeah. Pony dump? I don't know what. Yeah. The club collective, Rodeo Texoma, whatever, has apparently parted ways with Adrian Forbes. Adrian Forbes is out. Dan's buddy from Luton, the Texoma's coach / TD from last season, is no longer apparently employed by the club. So they
brought this dude all the way over from England and they sacked him.
Yeah.
Dan, has he been showing up to your Dallas area Luton support group meetings?
Oh, we don't have one. There's only a handful. Well,
it seems like you should have one, because one of your fellow Lutonites is in need, Dan. He needs your support.
I tried to figure it out in the Premier League season and nobody cared. So,
all right.
So change at the top, like, you know, they have a GM now for Texoma, you know, which is a summer league team, basically. And I don't know who's, other than Ben Watson, who's basically running the rodeo part. But they're back to the drawing board in terms of a coach or a GM and putting a team together. So Forbes is out.
Yay, money.
It's a USL1 team.
Well, it's professional, so we care.
I know. It's extremely niche, is what I'm saying.
That's why it's the last thing in the show.
hopefully Forbesy finds a good spot, though. I mean, guy's a quality coach, Premier League experience. Like, you know, deserves a little bit better than getting messed around in a, you know, semi-pro/pro setting.
Okay. I'm sure we'll learn more about Rodeo Soccer Club as their pending season draws near. Are they playing in Sherman again this year?
Well, they're not coming back till next year. It's going to be in Salina. Remember, that's the whole.
No, I knew they were moving to Salina, but I knew that also coincided with a new stadium being constructed. So they're taking an entire season off.
Yeah, they're going to play in the new fancy high school football stadium that they have there in Salina. Yeah,
but that's not done until 27, I think.
Oh, I don't know anything about that. I know that they're playing next year. They're not playing. Texoma will continue to play in Sherman this year in the USL 2, but the USL 1 team will not come back until next season.
Okay, got it.
Hopefully they're going to have the logo is the next thing that's supposed to come out from them. They're doing like a fan, send us your logo and we'll consider it, which is kind of fun.
Oh, okay. So they just don't want to pay a design agency.
Yeah, cool. You should get in on that dance. Do it for free. Yeah. I mean, you could get an awesome logo that way, though, man.
Vegas certainly is still cool t-shirts. Still taking bets on the odds that the final logo has a rope in it.
Yeah, somehow. Cowboy hat, you know, maybe a Bronco bull.
The font made of rope. What is that? Yeah. What is that font called, Dan? The one that's rope. Is it just called font? Rope font?
Font rope. Yeah, rodeo. Corny. That's what it's called.
Just corny.
Corny.
Yeah. Yeah, Comic Sans, but fancy.
All right. And then to get back to our favorite thing, Kit Talk, before we finish up the episode, Footy Headlines today also leaked the description. And they kind of goofed with everybody because they put some images next to it, but none of the images match the actual written description in the article of what the new primary American or U.S. kit will be for the World Cup. But by all indications, Adidas has decided to give the U.S. red and white hoop-esque design, more like a flag, American flag design. How about that? In terms of red and white horizontal waves or stripes or something.
It's a tribute in a way to the great, you know, World Cup kit from 94.
94 and the Waldos.
Yeah.
From when were the Waldos?
Eight,
I think it was.
I think so, too.
So they talk about them not being straight horizontal lines, but there being some movement. And they also talk about that the red, I think, has some sort of gradient to it from like a maroon to more of a traditional red. I'm assuming they would wear it with navy shorts and socks.
Surely they would.
But I also thought that it's interesting because of the way FIFA is kind of a stickler about light versus dark kit assignments.
Hate that.
And because if you think about their group stage, two of their opponents have red as a primary color. Paraguay wears red and white stripes with royal blue shorts. And Turkey, I'm assuming it's Turkey, that's going to end up being the fourth team. They're historically a red kit or a white kit. So if the U.S. plays Turkey, I'm assuming that means the U.S. is going to have to wear what I then also assume is a Navy kit.
Yeah, the all Navy kit's the other kit pretty much always.
So I think it's interesting that FIFA's letting Adidas give the U.S. a red and white stripe. Because the complications it creates in terms of kit assignment.
I think it's awesome. It's great. We'll probably end up having to wear Navy all the time, but I think that kit sounds fun.
Well, it would suck if they got a really kick-ass flag kit and the U.S. never gets to wear it. Right. I mean, how often did they wear the denim kit?
One game, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think they didn't get out of the round, so.
Yeah. So, all right.
Hey, before we go, I just wanted to comment that it's an absolute bummer that Ricky Puig is out for all of 2026, man. That sucks.
Well, not only that, I'm worried for the dude's career.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is a Pomichael-type situation where he's had a second thing and another operation.
Well, whatever. I'm curious, is this a re-tear of the same of the repaired tendon? Is it a different injury in the same knee? They've been very unspecific about what the injury is.
It says setback on the quick Google, so it must have been something of the same knee that leads me to believe. I just wanted to talk about what a bummer it is, not like I had anything to add to it. But
AP said it was an ACL reconstructive surgery again.
Yeah. So if in fact he tore that and it's a reconstruction of a reconstruction, that worries me for his career. And I also think it's interesting that LA went ahead and just IR'd him for the season, and they will almost certainly replace him with another high profile player,
which they didn't do last time.
No, but
Dallas didn't.
Exactly. So, and the complications that then poses for LA in 27 in terms of DP and money spending and all of that. But I guess that's a bridge you cross when you get to it. That's a good problem to have at that time, maybe, potentially. I don't know. I just, I think I'm at this point with, as much as I'm brokenhearted for the guy, you just wonder if he's done.
Well, that's exactly what we've been saying. The same worry we've had for Paxton Pomykal now is like, I've not been assuming at all that he was ever going to play. I mean, he ran around last year, but that ain't the same player. You know what I mean?
No.
So it's like, you know, just like Giovanni Jesus has been out for 2 years. We have no idea where we're getting, even though Zanata said he's been going gangbusters for 2 months.
Yeah, and this weird part is Pomykal's situation is different than
it is
Pooj's or Jesus. One's a cartilage issue. One is a tendon issue, right? Reconstruction. So, they're all nasty knee surgeries.
Yeah. The bottom line is if you miss 2 years, the chance of your career continuing is not good. And so that's where we are with Pomykal, you know, and really the point is just that, like, such a beautiful player, Puig is. And so it's,
100%.
Pooj, goddammit.
Well, I mean, it'd be interesting to see, because, you know, is he going to be one of those players that, once he is eventually fit, bounces straight back, or does he require that kind of build up year like most players coming off an ACL?
What is he, 26 now? 27? It's 26. Not like he's in his
30s. 26.
He's 26. All right. So he'll be 27 when.
Yeah, Pax is 25 or whatever he is.
Yeah. All right. Very good.
Oh, 26. Paxton turned 26 last month. My bad.
All right. Well, now, Dan, Buzz cock blocked me on Kit Talk by moving into his memorial for Pooj's career. I just wanted to ask Dan first if he had any hot Kit Talk that he wanted to bring to the table.
No.
You haven't seen a new kit that you're excited about or a design that you're into?
Dan doesn't have a lot of hot topics.
I've kind of gone off the grid the last week. I haven't really paid attention to anything. Yeah, I mean, I saw the new ball and that was about it.
What do you think of the new ball, the new MLS ball?
It's adequate.
Yeah.
It's a ball.
Somebody clever put an article up that went back and looked at every single MLS ball in the history of the league. And I will state pretty unequivocally, the Kappa traditional polka dot ball is my favorite MLS ball of all time.
I don't think I ever had a strong opinion about MLS ball until now.
Really?
Yeah.
The original MLS miter ball was a great ball.
That was classic.
That's a good ball.
I had a Luton Town, or maybe it was an FA Cup Wembley program that had the advert for that ball in it.
You're right. The classic Kappa ball is a fantastic ball, Peter. I'm
now, looking at it now. Help me out, Buzz. I don't know if you will remember this. I also am of the memory that the reason why it was only the ball for the league 1 year is because it was an absolutely shit quality ball. Is that the ball?
Are you talking about the Kappa ball?
Yes.
It was 2 years.
Okay. Well, it was for a short period of time, but I think I'm correct in saying that that's the ball that kept deflating on the field and they kept having to replace in the middle of games.
You might be right. I mean, they went away from Kappa pretty quick.
Do you remember that? There was an MLS ball, I swear, and I think it was the Kappa ball that you know, you very rarely see a ball have to be replaced on the field because it's deflated or popped or something. And I think the Kappa ball had a defect in it or something.
There was a run where it would hit a post and it would crack the seam or whatever, or hit the crossbar.
Because it was 110 degrees or whatever. Like the glue would melt or whatever it was. I just remember being at one of those balls, but aesthetically, that's my favorite ball.
Whenever we get to the ball talker in the league, I always have to bring up the thing that one of the things that has most surprised me about professional soccer, being out in training and stuff like that, is how hard the pro players want the balls pumped up. Like, they will reject a ball to me that is rock hard, and they'll reject it as not being pumped up enough.
I think that's just players in general now, because I always grew up to be like, you know, you wanted that little bit of give. You didn't want to give yourself a concussion heading it, but now even...
Or help your touch, you know.
Even like amateur games, it's like, if that thing's not a basketball, no one wants it.
Yeah, I remember asking Jason Christ, I was like, holy crap, why do you want it pumped up like this? And he's like, speed. The harder it is, the harder I can hit it. I was like, oh, okay. That makes sense. So, but I think it would surprise most people that think they play, you know, play soccer or amateur soccer, go out for kick arounds. So like even people that are probably pretty high level amateur players, at least back then, perhaps, I found it shocking how hard they wanted it. Yeah. No give at all.
There is a big difference between 9 and 15 pounds or 13 pounds of pressure.
Yeah, they want the max pressure.
If someone could also cut that audio about Buzz wanting it hard and all that, then magic. Absolutely magic.
Yeah, thanks. It's not a good episode for me in terms of...
Looking at you, Scott.
The drops.
And monitoring player... Monitoring...
I think I said tracking.
Tracking? Was, tracking players.
Yeah, that's it. I didn't quite step on that one as badly as...
Tracking 13-year-olds.
Liking hardballs. Yeah. No, 14. 14.
Oh.
I don't do 13.
That makes it all better. Good for you.
So much better.
Yeah. All right. Well, is there somebody that has an entire collection of MLS balls? There has to be.
I did for a long time, but I don't anymore. I have like the first 15 years.
The article also unfortunately reminded me of the year they decided to have a different colored ball for this standing MLS champion. Do you remember this? When the MLS Cup winner would play with a silver ball at home?
I thought that was cool.
Well, it was, except for the fact that silver isn't typically the color associated with being champions.
Yeah, fair. Fair.
That was the...
It was an Adidas ball.
Yeah, it was like, was it the Team Ghost ones or the ones after it?
Yeah, I think it was one, it was the same design for the World Cup that particular year or the year prior to that.
They were trying to do the Italian thing and do the Scudetto badge and all the other shit.
I think so, yeah. It was just, so I think there was at least one, if not two seasons, the MLS Cup holder played with a different color ball at home. And I thought, well, that's an interesting bit. It should be gold.
Yeah,
That would just make sense. But then they also did that weird star thing of like, oh, you have to have a silver star unless you've won 5 cups and then you can have a gold star. Like,
and then LA just said, fuck y'all. It now has like 11
can
team
FC
stars.
Can FC Dallas get a bronze star? I mean, shit.
Have you seen a Galaxy shirt lately? Have all the stars on it? They totally just said, screw you guys. We're putting every star we want of different sizes and meanings and designations on our shirt.
This is where, speaking of that idea of the stars, this is one thing that annoys me, that North Texas only puts one star for their MLS Next Pro Championship and don't put two. Having
they
won
would
a
like
USL
to change
title,
that.
They should put two. Dave, I don't care that one of them wasn't in MLS league.
It's not them. They've been told they're not allowed to.
I know. You got your own little equipment room. Go stick some stars on there, man.
Oh, I would do what England used to do. I would embroider it in the color of the jersey.
Yeah.
So it's there.
Yeah.
Or put it in the logo.
Wait, I want to make sure that I'm saying this out loud so this doesn't miss anybody. So North Texas, holder of two championships, one for USL 1 and one for MLS Next Pro.
Correct.
Only feature one star on their current jersey because MLS headquarters said you cannot put a star representing the other older league that you no longer play with on your MLS shirt.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What a load of horse shit that is.
Yes. Yeah.
On that note, was like, Vancouver should get their NASL star.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's your jersey. Stick it on there. Put it somewhere else. I mean, whatever. Get it on there.
If Toronto, Vancouver, or Montreal win the Canadian version of the FA Cup, are they not allowed to wear a star to represent that on their shirt?
That would be weird if they did.
Well, we don't do stars for the U.S. Open Cup.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. It would, Dan was right. It would be Vancouver's North American NASL championship from like 74. I mean, that would be what they would do. And the league would say no. Mm. I mean, that's what it would be like. Or Seattle's USL championship before USL, before the team was in USL. You know, that kind of thing. Mm. But, you know, it's like, I totally disturbing. Like, sometimes I think it's okay to buck the trend. Like if I'm a billionaire owner, I might be like, find me, whatever. I'm putting it on there. Here's a picture of me lifting the cup. I'm putting it on there, you know.
Man, talk about a way to suddenly endear your new potential season ticket base in Mansfield by telling that story publicly, that we're just going to buck whatever the league says is, we're going to put this on our shirts anyway.
We got two titles we're putting it on here.
And you can come buy a shirt and get some season tickets to go along with it.
Exactly.
There's you. There's you a ticket promotion, guys.
Yeah.
Buy season tickets at the new Mansfield Stadium and get a shirt with two effing stars on it.
Yeah.
Why not? And here's Don Garber's email address. You can tell him to stick it. All right. Very good. We have prattled on and wasted enough time, filled our hour requirement for all the advertisers and sponsors that we promised them at least an hour.
Yep.
And wasted that same amount of time in Dan Crook's busy evening. Shoulder shrug from Dan. Very good. Well, Dan, it is nice to see you. Happy New Year, by the way, Dan.
Happy New Year.
You look fresh in 2026, by the way.
Yeah, I'll see how long that lasts.
Okay, very good. And Buzz, Happy New Year to you too, my friend, my old and dear friend.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you. I'm happy to learn that the British celebrate the same New Year. It's not like Chinese New Year. It's a different time or something. So that's cool. I don't learn that.
Damn, we have the same calendar.
No.
It's probably our calendar.
It's not. It's Greek.
You guys over there do a lot of stuff differently than we do it over here. We're all very suspicious of you.
Yeah, for sure.
Granted, the Scots also have their own New Year.
They do?
Do they? Scottish New Year's? Well, that would explain a lot.
I had not heard of this.
I've not heard that either.
Well, is this a Celtic thing?
So they celebrate Hogmanay on the last day of the year, which is kind of like just seeing out the old
year. Is this like fairies and wizards and trolls and stuff?
Like it's something from Boxing
House
Day
of Dragon?
Now. No, Boxing Day is just an old celebration. No, it's just, I don't know, Scottish people enjoying a drink.
Okay.
Well, I can get a war with that.
All right, now I'm going to officially dismount. Thank you, Buzz. Thank you, Dan. And thank you, DFW area soccer curious types. We will be back next week for another episode of Third Degree, the podcast.
Just celebrate whatever you want.
Third Degree, the Third Degree Nerd Podcast. Third Degree, the Third Degree Nerd Podcast. Third Degree, the Third Degree Nerd Podcast. Third Degree, the Third Degree Nerd Podcast.